He has indeed come. Advent. We celebrate. We have Advent calendar, right, where we look forward to him coming, but the reality is we're just remembering the fact that he has already come. Jesus has come to rescue us. I like that Ron shared there a little bit about how excited he was to tell people after what God had done. You know, if it's okay with you, it's way too hot to have a big Irish wool sweater on and this coat. So I'm going to take the coat off. He talked about how he was excited. And there really are certain things in life that happen that are just too exciting to keep to yourselves. Right? Maybe it's an engagement and you can't wait to show the ring. Or maybe it's the birth of a child and or a grandchild. And your grandparents are worse than parents, I think, when it comes to that. And it used to be you pull out the wallet and show them, but now it's the phone. And you're like, you've got to see it. And beautiful, beautiful, breathtaking child. But you're so excited that you've got to share with them the things that have happened in your life. And there are just certain things that are like that. They're too exciting to keep to yourself. You know that song, Go Tell It on the Mountain? Go tell it on the mountain. We're not all going to sing it, but that song. I think that song captures, especially when it's done, you know, upbeat and it's lively, it captures that sense of excitement that surrounded Jesus' birth. Now, not everybody was excited when Jesus was born. In fact, most people had no idea. Because God came in such a way, in such humility, that very few people even knew that the world had changed that day. And some people, when they did find out, weren't excited about it at all. Some comes to mind King Herod. If you know the story, King Herod was not excited when he found out that there was a birth of a king from God. But all of those who were really in the know, who understood what was really happening, they were excited. And they couldn't wait to tell other people. And this actually includes not just human beings, even the angels themselves were excited and couldn't wait to share the news that Jesus was born. And so each Sunday this Advent, there's four Sundays, and we're going to take a different story from the New Testament about the telling of the news of Jesus' birth. So today we're going to look at an angel who got to tell the news to Joseph. And then we're going to look next week at shepherds who couldn't keep the news to themselves but had to go door to door and bang on doors around Bethlehem and say, "You won't believe what's happened. You won't believe, just in the stable across town." And then the next week, we're going to look at Mary, who was so excited about the reality that she was carrying in her womb the Savior, that she burst into song and had to tell her cousin, Elizabeth. And then we're going to look at the wise men. They didn't have a lot of people they could tell. They had to get out of town, but they rejoiced to one another. And so they just couldn't help but tell one another of the exciting, amazing things that they had witnessed. So I'm praying, my hope is that during this Advent season, that this church, that you and I will capture some of that excitement, some of that joy, some of that anticipation that was there in the first days when Jesus was born, that we'll capture it in such a way that we can't help but want to go tell it to one another. Whether we're singing it on a mountaintop, or whether we're in our home, or in our workplace, in our school, at Walmart, wherever we are, that we will go tell it. That's my prayer. Now, before we get into God's word and look at that first story that I was saying about Joseph and the angel that came and got to tell the good news to Joseph, let's go ahead and bow our heads in a word of prayer and ask for the Holy Spirit's help. That perhaps even this morning, something like happened to Ron, where the Holy Spirit got a hold of him, will happen to you this morning. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you that you have given us the scriptures, and in them, just in brief, but boy, you tell us so much in these short little stories about Jesus' birth. And I would pray this morning that you would help me to communicate it in a way that is clear, a way that captures some of the joy and excitement that was there on that first morning. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth, I pray that the meditations of all of our hearts today and during this Advent season would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Now, sometimes when my kids have exciting news or something that's interesting that's happened, and they've both witnessed it, they fight over who gets to tell us. You know what I mean? Like they get off the bus at school and one of them will start telling something that's happened and the other one has to kind of cut in and no, I want to tell it or start to excitement there and they can't, and they often turn into like bickering and then the news isn't so good anymore, but you know how it is. They're just so excited and they're arguing over who gets to tell them. Well, the reality about the story of Jesus' birth, that it wasn't actually any human being that got to be the first ones to tell the news. It was angels. It was angels. Now, I don't know how they picked which one it was going to be. Was it like, okay, God's up there, pick a number between 1 and 10, I've got it behind my back, you know, or did they cast lots? I don't know how they decided which angel. But one of the angels got to come down and tell Joseph the good news. Now, before I tell the story, though, we're going to read it together in Matthew chapter 1. So if you have your Bible, please turn and follow along with me in Matthew chapter 1. We're going to read verses 18 through 25 of Matthew chapter 1. But even before we read it, I want to set the stage. It's a familiar story probably to most, but I don't want to assume that everybody here knows the story. I'd rather tell you the story and let the scriptures then come to life as we tell them. There's Mary and Joseph, and Mary is the one who is going to be carrying the baby Jesus. And Mary and Joseph were betrothed. That's the word in the scriptures here. Now, that's not a word that we use ever, I think, outside of reading it in the Gospels here. When I proposed to Sarah, I didn't say, now we're betrothed. But essentially, it was an engagement. But in that culture, it would have been a more binding and legal kind of arrangement. The families would have known each other. They would have made some legal agreement that says, our daughter is going to marry your son. It's a done deal. So they're engaged. It's official, but they haven't come together yet. They're not actually married, but it's all but settled and done. And this is the situation when some interesting and unfortunate news, at least initially, comes to Joseph. So let's read Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, again, that engagement, that legal engagement to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Verse 22 goes on and says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So the engagement is on, but then Joseph finds out that Mary is expecting. And he notes he's never been with her. They're not married yet. They had not been together. I don't know how the news got to him. I don't know if you know, small town, if the buzz went around. I tend to think not, that it hadn't yet circulated and that Mary knew she needed to share this. And so somehow a friend of a friend brought the message to Joseph. And I can only imagine his heart sinking. This terrible news. She's pregnant? But we're not even married yet. How is she pregnant? And you know, she's not even faithful to me while we're engaged. Can I trust her to be faithful to me while we're married? And so he makes plans. This news probably shattered some of his dreams because he had plans to have a wife and to have a family and to be able to work and support the family and have the love of the household, and now it seems to have shattered. But he's a just man, we're told, a righteous man, somebody who wants to do what's right. He has no desire to shame her and to ridicule her and to put her to public embarrassment. So he plans in his own heart. He says, you know what? I can't marry the woman. I mean, she's pregnant, and I don't know how this has happened, so I can't marry her. But I don't really want to drag her name through the mud. So we'll make plans. We'll go to the family. We'll just say, look, it's not going to happen. She'll go her way. I'll go my way. And while he's thinking about this, and he's planning this, he has a dream. An angel comes to him, a messenger. And he comes with some shocking news, because in a sense, it's the same news he already knew. Mary is pregnant. Oh, but there's so much more in this news. And so now he comes, the angel comes to Joseph, and he says, I've got news for you. And that's what I want to look at. What is it exactly that this angel told Joseph? What was the news that he had to bring to Joseph? Now, I see three things in there. And the first thing, when the first part of the news, is that this baby, this child, Jesus, is from God. Jesus is from God. Now, it says it quite simply here that Mary conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. The child that is within her, how does the angel say it? Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit himself is the one that is responsible for this miracle. Her virgin womb is still virgin. She did not cheat on you. She's not been unfaithful. It is an act of God. Now, I think this must have been hard to swallow at first. Sometimes we look at people in the past and we think, oh, you know, they were superstitious and they believed all these things, so sure, it was no big deal. An angel comes and tells you that your soon-to-be wife is pregnant and it's the power of God. Okay, I doubt it. They knew how these things worked. They knew how it was supposed to happen. They knew about life and death, and they were realists. And so this news must have come as a shock. And yet the messenger was from God. And Joseph, in his mind, I guess, could not deny the fact that this was something that God himself was telling. That this baby was no ordinary baby. That this baby was from God. This was an act of God. This is God at work. The power of the Holy Spirit. So on the most practical level, that meant Mary had not cheated on him. Mary had not broken any promises or any vows. In fact, the very opposite. Because the Lord says, you're a favored one because you have been righteous. And so that practical level is, go ahead and marry her, because she hasn't cheated on you. She is conceived by the power of God. This is no ordinary baby. On a more important level, this means that it's God who's been at work here. That in everything that's going to unfold with baby Jesus and with his birth, it's all the hand of God. None of it is an accident. None of it is mischief that has gone awry. It is God at work. This baby is no ordinary baby. This baby has come from God himself. It also means that not only is it no ordinary baby, Jesus was no ordinary man. I mean, he was ordinary in some sense. He's flesh and blood, like you and I. He experienced pain and joy. He had the physical makeup that we have. He had kidneys that do what kidneys do. And I don't know that much of what all the body parts do. But he had a brain that had synapses that fired. And he was like us in these practical ways. He was every bit a human being. And yet he was so much more. So much more that the Apostle John describes it this way. That this baby, this man, was actually with God in the beginning and was God. That's how John describes it in the first chapter. He calls him the Word, and he says the Word was with God and the Word was God. Jesus was no ordinary baby. Jesus was no ordinary man. Jesus was from God. That's the first thing, in essence, that he had to say is, guess what? This baby is from God. The second thing that the angel had to say was that this Jesus will save people from sins. You know, naming a baby is a pretty big deal. And I find it humorous at times the lengths that couples will go to try and hide the name. Like, oh no, we're not telling anybody until, you know, we have a big reveal party and things like that. I think my mindset was the opposite. It was like, I'm getting that name out there, so nope, I've claimed it. You know, if anybody else is pregnant with kids right now, we've got Jack, that's done. You can't have it. All right, that's my name. And when we were, you know, naming your kid is a big deal. When we were in Ireland, in fact, every gift shop, by the way, if you ever go and you walk away from a gift shop and you go, oh, I should have bought X. Don't worry, the next gift shop will have identical gifts. They're all the same Irish stuff. But one of the things that was in almost every gift shop were these racks with little cards or like little, what were they? I don't even know, like, were they stickers or something? With names on them. And then associated with the name was some characteristics about that name or the people who have that name. And it was actually kind of scary because Jack's and Anna's, we just looked at them. We didn't buy them, but I had to snap a picture. Too cheap to buy them, but I wanted to see what it said. So I took a picture, and it was pretty accurate. It was kind of interesting. The name had, and it wasn't meaning as much as like character. But you know, Mary and Joseph, they didn't get to pick the name for this child. Probably would have been Joseph Jr. That's just the culture. They would have named Joseph after his supposed dad here. But they didn't get to pick the name because God had chosen the name. And he didn't pick a name just based upon, you know, what the personality of Jesus was going to be like. He picked a name that told something about why Jesus had come. You see, he picked the name Jesus, which is the Greek version of the name Joshua, Yeshua in Hebrew. And it means God saves. This baby child, in his name, and then more importantly, in what he would grow up to do, to give his life on a cross, this child would come to save people from their sins. And so the angel said, guess what? You're naming him Jesus because he's going to save God's people from their sins. This baby isn't going to stay a baby. He's going to become a man, and this man is going to willingly give up his life. He's going to go to a cross. He's going to be crucified, and the wrath that our sins deserve is going to be poured out on him, that we might be forgiven and made righteous because of his sacrifice. See, when Jesus came, he came on a rescue mission. He came to save. It's in his name. That should be like a slogan. I'm here to save. It's in my name. You know, it just works because that is why God sent Jesus. So that's what the angel got to tell Joseph. Joseph, guess what? This baby is from God. Joseph, guess what? This baby, this child, this man will save God's people from their sins. And then the third one isn't so much what the angel got to say as much as the news that the angel shared fulfilled a promise, fulfilled a word of prophecy. And so in verse 22, again, it says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, Jesus didn't walk around with the name Emmanuel. It wasn't a name in that sense. Like his buddies at school didn't say Emmanuel. No, it's confusing for our son because his name is John, but we call him Jack. And he's got it now, but it was initially a little bit confusing. Jesus wasn't like, hello, I'm Jesus on my birth certificate, but I'm Emmanuel, everybody. No, it's not that kind of name. It's more like a title. He will be the one who is known as Emmanuel. And then thankfully, Matthew does the translation for us, and he tells us what that means. Emmanuel means God with us. So this announcement that came from the angel that this baby is from God and that this baby will become a man who will save his people from their sins, the third thing that this announcement really was all about is that in Jesus, God had drawn near to us. I mean, in some sense, of course, God has never been far from us. He's not a distant God that had created a world and then sort of stepped away from it and had no interest in it. He's always been near by his very essence of who he is. He's omnipresent. He's present everywhere. But here he has drawn near to identify with us so closely that he has become one of us. In this child, Jesus, God has drawn near as possible. He's an intimate God who loves us and knows us and will not keep us at an arm's distance, but has drawn near to us. And so this Christmas, this Advent season, the heart of the message that we have can be simply put this way: God has drawn near to us in Jesus to save us from our sins. That's what Christmas is about. That is what Advent is about. And so in just these few short verses in Matthew's gospel, we hear of the message that the angel got to go tell. The message of a God who loves us so much that he acted. That this baby he sent was actually his own son. One who was with him and was God from the very beginning. And that he sent Jesus to save us from our sins. That was the rescue mission. He still meets our deepest need. Our need to have our sins erased and to be brought back into relationship with God. So my prayer this Advent is that Christmas, I love all the stuff that goes with Christmas. I really do, especially since I've had kids. I love Santa Claus. I love opening gifts. I love the decorations. I love the Mickey Mouse Christmas specials that we watch, and I enjoy them all. I love the music. As I've confessed already, since early November, I've had Christmas music going on. But I pray none of that will distract us from what's at the heart of Christmas, that our God loves us and that he has made a way for our sins to be forgiven, that we might be in right relationship with him once again. And so I pray this Christmas, if you have not already, you will receive the greatest gift that he has offered, his own son, as a sacrifice for our sins and as a Savior and a Lord who loves us and rules over us in a way that is perfect and best for us. That's what Christmas is about. And I pray for those who already know it, that this news has already hit you, you've already embraced it and accepted it, that you'll take on the challenge to go tell it. That this Advent season, you won't keep it to yourself. Maybe it'll be something easy to start with, baby steps. That's okay. Grab some of those invitation cards and then just hand it to a couple of people. Say, we'd love to have you join us for a Sunday or maybe Christmas Eve. Or, you know, our church, our choir is going to sing a cantata. You would really enjoy it. Or come to the concert. It's this Saturday. It's non-threatening. It'll be a great time to kick off the Christmas season. Go tell it. Or maybe God will give you an opportunity. If you make yourself available, an opportunity to say, you know, I love Christmas, but can I tell you what Christmas is really about? Or what's the most important part? And you'll go tell it, the good news about Jesus. That's my prayer for us. I'm going to invite up now our elders that are going to help serve. And we're going to have, we had a Thanksgiving meal here a few weeks ago. It's also a Christmas dinner. Because this dinner, this meal represents why Jesus came. That his body might be broken for our sins, that his blood might be poured out in order to save us from our sins. So as we partake of this together, we're partaking of a meal that is meant to remind us of the meaning of Christmas.